Well, on a good day, this is where we revisit our Chiefs win-ifs. Today, I guess we have to revisit our Chiefs lose-ifs. The scenarios in which we thought the Chiefs might lose a ball game. Not sure any of us would have nailed this necessarily.
This was a bizarre one. If the Chiefs whole team goes, you know, brain fart in the last 90 seconds, the Chiefs will lose.
Yeah, well, maybe that should have been one. Might be one you add at some point in time. 9 o'clock hour prize, $15 a protein house. Just for listening, we give stuff away at 7, 8, and 9 o'clock. Ryan makes it simple to win.
Ooh, protein house. I love their peanut butter balls. They're delicious.
Delicious.
They are amazing.
Scrumptious.
They're sweaty. They're not sweaty.
But they're a perfect breakfast, lunch, or dinner food.
Oh, my. Some flurries coming down out there. Be safe out there on the roads, people. Next time you hear this.
Struggling.
All right. Oh, Next time you hear that, be caller number.
Well, you forgot to play the song at the beginning of this segment, so we'll go with caller number 37.
I didn't forget.
37.
Did not forget.
Editorial decision, huh?
Caller number 37. Next time you hear that, drop 913-576-7610. I will hook you up with $15 to the protein house.
Chiefs lose if. Brought to you by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home of luxury automobiles for over 50 years. We revisit our picks from Friday. See how we did.
Josh said the Chiefs would lose if Derrick Henry went over 100 yards.
Hey, congratulations.
Congratulations, Josh.
Way to go, bud.
Although I also had, and they don't sack the quarterback multiple times on that, too. Did we leave that part out? See, I only got a half credit on that one. They did sack the quarterback multiple times.
Yeah, they sacked him four times.
Which felt like it should be enough, but they needed one of those late in the game. They needed to get in his face, and they didn't rattle him enough late.
I was a big fan of the second sack Chris Jones got, where he damn near de-cleated Tannehill. That was fun to watch. He like ran right into him.
They got after him for a while.
How do you not see 9'5 right in front of you?
Yeah.
He's enormous.
Suddenly he seemingly figured it out.
There was
Josh
one play
said
where
the Chiefs would lose if they didn't sack Ryan Tannehill multiple times.
Yeah, there it is. Thank you. That was part two of that one. So I see how we did it. We broke that in two, so I got a half a point.
I didn't want to give you the full point.
No, I was going to take zero. But
well, you were going to get zero, yeah, I was going to say.
I appreciate the half credit, I guess.
Bob said the Chiefs would lose if the defense took a step back and let Tennessee dictate the game, passing for over 300 yards with 125 on the ground.
No, just 181 through the air, but 188 on the ground. Yeah, that's a balanced attack.
Yeah. Need 300 over the air.
Balanced. 23 rushes, 19 passes, and they won the game. 50 passes, 25 runs, and the Chiefs lost the game.
Doesn't make any sense. I mean, the balance, having more balance makes sense, but having that many plays and still winning is just
And having a time of possession of 37 to 22. Well, you gave up a defensive score, though, too. Yeah, I mean, you gave up a defensive score, and you had a bunch of kicks missed.
Yeah. Ryan said the Chiefs would lose if they lost the turnover battle.
There you go.
I mean, technically, they were one for one, right? Yeah. Chiefs got one, Titans got one. I feel like the Chiefs or
theirs
the Titans was a little more impactful.
Bigger one when you take it all the way back.
And
to
since
the house.
I produced the thing, I just went ahead and put the buzzer
well,
or the bells.
When you take
in there.
It back to the house. That's more than one.
I mean, again, we've talked about over the last couple of weeks when we have Chiefs story, we forgot. I've focused on the penalties. Focused on the turnovers. I think it's the little things with this team that's really costing them games.
Which
it's
is why
the,
I asked the question, can they do the little things?
But
and that ultimately is coaching.
I think what's more encouraging, though, is that they all seem like fixable problems. Like they're just little small tweaks here and there. Hey, how about you change up your cadence on your fifth field goal out there?
But why wasn't that talked about ahead of time?
I don't know, Bob. I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. I think that the little things are what's affecting you big time, though. The small mental mistakes, the turnovers, the penalties, things like that that really hurt. You know, Mecole Hardman trying to get his glove on while he's trying to field a punt and then winds up catching it at, what, the three?
No, that was a different one, I
think.
Oh, yeah.
There's just
the fair catch at the two was bizarre.
There was a lot of things that are just small mental mistakes that if you shore those up, you're going to be much, much better than you're looking right now. But right now, I understand how you can see how that team performed on Sunday and go, man, this team can't win anything.
Right, but you've got to go in there today if you're the head football coach and hold these guys accountable for that and hold them responsible for that and start to stress those small things, man, because small things do equal big things. And a lot of times with an Andy Reid loss, it is a small thing that ends up losing the game. Like, this is an undisciplined football team. They had a couple of weeks where they didn't commit so many penalties. And look, they won a game against the Minnesota Vikings when they only had four penalties. Yesterday,
nine.
They had nine penalties. Andy Reid, I don't think, has done a very good job of disciplining his team and holding his team accountable when they make big-time mistakes like those penalties. You have got to hold these guys accountable, and whether it's making them run gassers or whatever it is.
I can't do that anymore.
No, I know. No. But what I'm saying is penalties are unacceptable. Those are signs of an undisciplined football team. And an undisciplined team ends up losing games. And they lost yesterday because they lost that game for the big part because they were undisciplined yesterday.
Ryan had his turnovers as the lose-if. Tennessee scoops up the turnover, runs it back into a touchdown. Chiefs get the early turnover and don't turn it into seven.
The Chiefs are lucky they didn't have an interception on the first play of the game.
That too. But they get the turnover early. Massive opportunity to go up 14-0.
Right.
Didn't take advantage of that opportunity. Could have really had them on their heels early. Held to three. It's just a 10-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee feels like one play and they're back in it. And
you score a touchdown there. You lead.
It should have been 14-0.
Should have been 17-6 at halftime if you score a touchdown there and don't fumble the football.
That's today's edition of Chiefs Lose If. It wasn't just the Chiefs' end of game that was interesting. Plenty of others around the league were as well. We bring another edition of Sproles in the Backfield next.
Struggling.
Fesco in the morning. Just how drunk was Merrill?
You know, fans, it's games like this that used to get me over-medicated.
We're about to find out the most sober calls from around the NFL. And then we have Merrill.
What are you saying about Rochester?
Fesco in the Morning presents
Holes in the Backfield.
We don't have Merrill this week, do we?
Bye week in Philadelphia.
So I'll say
hammered.
Snockered.
Yes. Loopy. Free Sunday, baby.
But he's drinking all over the bus.
Watching that Jet Giant game, I'm sure.
Probably hanging out with Dallas Collard.
Ertz, what are you doing next week? So a Merrill free edition of our highlights around the NFL as the Eagles had the weekend off, but still some good stuff from around the NFL, right, Ryan?
A lot of good stuff, starting with the Baltimore Ravens, man. Love watching that team yesterday.
Big fan of those texts we just got, by the way. 913, Clark Hunt should have stormed the locker room after the game and yelled to every player and coach that, quote, if this joke of a football team doesn't correct this complete BS, I will fire all of you.
Would that intimidate you, like Clark Hunt?
What do you think the likelihood Clark Hunt was in Nashville?
100%.
You think he was there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. 100% there. Yeah, no question. They're all there.
So he could have stormed the gates, is what you're telling me.
Okay.
There's our crazy owner.
Yeah, you don't need that. What good does that do?
I will fire each and every last one of you SOBs.
All right.
And my computer's frozen. There we go. I don't think Clark Hunt's intimidating anybody, by the way.
No.
Nor do I think that would work.
I don't think that works with adults. Especially football players.
Lamar Jackson's really good at football, right?
He is. He's
can we all just stop? Can we all just accept
that? Yeah, everybody has to be okay with it.
Jackson
fact, he's
will
good.
Keep it on the read option. He's got it at the 40, 35, spins at the 30. He's got room 20. Lamar Jackson 10, 5, touchdown Ravens! Lamar Jackson with the spin, the sprint, and the score!
L. Jack's a 47-yard house call there. I don't think the call did the spin move justice. The spin move was absolutely sick.
It looked like you were hitting the X button on Madden, man, with that spin move.
And Lamar said he's been practicing.
Actually, I did it Saturday at the walkthrough. I did it, and it actually happened in the game.
Somebody get that man a piece of hard candy
or
something.
Yeah, he needs like a Hall's eucalyptus. The Lamar Jackson stuff has got to end. This comes from USA Today. The color announcer in the Ravens-Bengals game yesterday said Lamar Jackson rarely throws from the pocket. Well, this season, Jackson has more attempts from the pocket, 204, than Kirk Cousins, Josh Allen, Mitchell Trubisky. He's completed 152 of those 204 for 1,600 yards, 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 95.9. Can we stop saying Lamar Jackson is a one-dimensional player, he doesn't throw from the pocket, it's not going to maintain, all this stuff, and just accept that Lamar Jackson is a pretty damn good football player and maybe some sort of trendsetter in the NFL with the way that he's playing right now?
I think the argument is the sustainability for how long Lamar Jackson could do that. We've seen Cam Newton have some issues with his body breaking down. He's a very physical runner as well. But his coach, John Harbaugh, he seems to think he could do it for a while.
I said to the offensive coaches on the phones, I said, they'll be watching that run for decades and decades. You know, that's one that everybody in the country is going to see by tomorrow afternoon. That was something that's rare.
They're going to be
special.
Yeah, that's special. They're going to be breaking that tape down for decades
and
decades.
Well, the other thing, though, too, I mean, you say he runs hard, right? And he does. But ultimately, not getting hit a lot because nobody's catching this guy.
Yeah, that spin move one, and then we touched him.
He went 48 yards in a spin move, and nobody laid a finger on the guy.
Well, we had our Survivor Pool
elimination game.
Elimination round, I guess.
I don't know
how that worked out. But all but three of us this week picking the New Orleans Saints. Let's go live to that game.
2x2 look with Hill. Ryan back up in the pocket. Throws backside Hill. Open, diving and scoring in the pylon. And the Atlanta touchdown for Brian Hill.
Ooh.
The last guy in the package.
Wow. No self-respecting Southerner will get on the radio and call a football game.
In a you-hate-to-see-it battle, Falcons knock off the Saints 26-9. That's why you don't pick division games in a survivor pool.
That was a lock.
Any given Sunday, Sean Payton doing his best Andy Reid impression.
Collectively, we've got to do a better job. That starts with me. It's not a lesson, but this league is too good week to week where, you know, you can go in and not be focused and ready. This has always been a game played with emotion. You know, I thought they outplayed us. They outplayed us, they outcoached us, and they deserve to win.
It's got to do a better job.
Jeez.
It starts with them.
That one shouldn't happen. Come on,
I'll
Saints,
take responsibility
do better.
For the loss.
Andy will too.
We were in a position to close it, and we didn't. We didn't get that done. My responsibility. And then we were too sloppy. You come down and you play like we did. Again, head coach's responsibility. You can't do it like that.
There it is.
That's
Andy
Sean
Reed.
Yep. That's Andy Reid. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Can't do it like that. No, you cannot. The other team, there was only two teams that were picked in the Survivor bracket this week, or the Survivor Pool this week. It was the Saints, and the other one were the Colts. But don't look now, the hottest team in the NFL, the Miami Dolphins.
Fitzpatrick, back to throw. Getting pressure again, rolls to his right. Pump fake, he's going to run with it. He's a five! Touchdown!
All right!
All right.
He's cheering like it's his kid that just got.
Hey, it's the Dolphins,
man. Way to go,
man.
Ryan! Good job.
Two in
Good
a row.
Good job.
Dolphins just beat the Colts on the road. 16-12, the final score. And what a game by Fitzpatrick and by Needham and by so many Dolphin players.
I can't even name them.
There's Fitzpatrick and there's
Didn't even learn their names. Didn't even learn their names.
Bill
this week.
Roster.
even the Dolphins announcers sound shocked that their team won.
Dolphins just beat the Colts on the road. Sick.
How did
I don't even know
happen.
How that happened. 16-12. The Dolphins win two in a row. This one over the Indianapolis Colts. That eliminates everybody out of our survivor pool
Brian
except
has
for
won
me.
The 6-10
I am
survivor
the smartest
pool.
Man alive!
You won the survivor pool with a loss, which is awesome.
Picked Ryan, you're in the hopper for the grand prize.
I don't know how many people picked me. I'm sure it's somewhere around 17 or so.
Or seven.
I can't verify these numbers. All I know is they're the smart ones. And the rest of y'all suck.
And you won the survivor pool with a loss, which is just so good.
Ain't nothing wrong with backdooring it, Bobby.
No, there really isn't.
That's I'm your backdoor man right
there. I understand. You got the shirt that says it.
I don't have a shirt that says that at all. Confused by that. The Indianapolis Colts did have a chance to win it, though, at the end. Unfortunately, their field goal kicker is not very good.
It is what it is. You know, there was a stretch there of about 4 or 5 weeks where the operation was good. You know, all three of the operation was good for 4 or 5 weeks there. So these misses have come in stretches, you know, in small bunches. And there is an expectation there. I mean, it's whatever percent it is to make an extra point, 97% or 96 point something percent. And so we need to make those.
Little pockets of misses.
Yeah, at least it wasn't baskets and bushels of misses.
Little bite-sized misses.
Yep. Well, misses there by Adam Vinatieri. Probably about time to send him to pasture.
I'll tell you what. Yesterday was a tough week for the NFL and extra points,
yes,
field goals. All of these things seem to not really
kind of critical.
Let's see. The Cleveland Browns. I thought they weren't going to win another game all season long. That's what you keep telling me, right?
Well, yeah.
Who's laughing now?
In the backfield, nobody. Nick Chubb on the right hip of Mayfield from the Buffalo 7 on second down. He's back. He settles. He's throwing. End zone. Touchdown. It's Rashard Higgins.
Yeah. Mr. Higgins.
Welcome back, Rashard Higgins. With a minute 44 left to go, Higgins was wide open in the back edge of the corner of the end zone on the right side, and Mayfield floated it right in there.
Attaboy, Baker.
Way to go, Mr. Higgins.
Attaboy, Baker. Baker Mayfield on his game-winning touchdown pass.
This is something that we had practiced, had the play action. It had guys barreling down on me, but I knew it was one-on-one. Obviously, we trust our guys to make plays, so I put it out there outside where, you know, if he's going to catch it, he's going to. If not, nobody else will.
Yep.
And he made an unbelievable catch once I saw the replay.
Those are the two options on that one. It is in typical Browns fashion, though. They did give up a drive to allow them to possibly tie the game at the end.
Waiting on the snap. It's back. He's into it. The kick is on the way. It doesn't look like it has enough. It's no good! 17 seconds left to go. The Browns sideline explodes. The stadium explodes.
19-16.
The Browns lead.
That's Harry Doyle on the call. Yeah, you figure you would have heard more.
I mean, if the stadium exploded.
About a stadium exploding
yesterday. That's the first I'm hearing of this, and I watched the NFL highlights show yesterday, too.
Huh.
They didn't say anything about an exploding stadium in Cleveland.
Wow.
Hope everybody's okay.
I'll take responsibility for the loss.
All of them?
It's a lot on his plate today.
Yeah, a ton.
If anyone has a lot on their plate all the time, it's Andy Reid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
I see, yeah.
Because he's fat?
No, because he's doing a lot of different things, man. He's wearing a lot of hats.
OJ, man, and he looks scared.
It's Mr. Higgins.
I'll take responsibility for...
Insert whatever you'd like right there.
I see OJ, man, and he looks...
Give him the jersey that you saw somebody in Buffalo wearing.
There was a 32 Buffalo jersey that said allegedly.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Like, that's bold.
That's good.
That is today's edition of Sproles of the Backfield.
Hello,
without
Twitter world.
Without our guy. He was he had the bye week, so yep. Hopefully he's got a cocktail in the air somewhere. Your chance to win. That guy. Your chance to win Topper's Pizza. If you know the Chiefs player of the game that they gave you on the post-game show yesterday afternoon, 913-576-7610. If you know.
Fesco in the morning.
Time for the Chiefs player of the game. If you're listening to the post-game show yesterday, they gave you a player of the game.
Oh,
all you
yes,
do is remember
did.
That the next day, and you can win yourself some Topper's Pizza.
It's very easy to do so. Just give us a call at 913-576-7610. It's brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry, 4 generations of distinctive jewelry. Tell us who gets the player of the game, and you could be entered to win a grand prize of $500 to Mazarese Jewelry at the end of the month.
Rex is today's contestant. Rex, tell us who's the player of the game.
Hey, I didn't watch it, but my choice is going to be Pat Mahomes.
Blitz. Mahomes jumps in the air and completes it. Look out! After
goodness, sir. There's some things to look back on this one. The jump pass by Mahomes, and then somehow the rookie Hardman able to work himself free of the secondary.
I mean, watch this. Yep. I'm going to jump to buy a tenth of a second. And you know what that is? It's spatial awareness.
Spatial awareness it is, the call on CBS. Patrick Mahomes, indeed the player of the game, the guys on the postgame show gave you yesterday.
Spatial awareness.
And Rex wins himself $25 to Topper's Pizza.
Gotta love a little bit of Rex not watching the game, but still knowing the play.
A jump pass and a win, huge. Jump pass and a loss, kind of forgotten.
That's exactly right.
And then Kirk Cousins' jump pass with the ridiculous catch, the back of the end zone by the tight end, Rudolph, kind of trumped that as well.
Yeah.
So there was another jump pass yesterday that was actually a better combination, I thought.
Well, better combination because it ultimately led to a win versus a loss. And you're right, that jump pass was pretty spectacular.
The catch was
great field awareness.
Stupid.
The catch was great.
Oh,
the run was fantastic. But they lost the game.
We're going to add that to the repertoire, though, right? Like, that's what he can do now. He's got the left-handeds and the no-looks. Now he's adding jump passes to the repertoire.
Yeah.
I don't know if
you
it's
know what would be
as
good?
Impressive.
A handoff would be good to add to his repertoire. A handoff would be outstanding.
Well, if you got him a running back that didn't fumble all the time.
That is true.
A run-pass option that was a run?
A run. Yeah. Just a handoff would be, you know, line up in the I formation and hand it to him. I think plays like that, though, ultimately, guys, are making Andy worse as a head football coach and an offensive coordinator because they're just, I mean, like, he makes his teammates better, but I think from a play-calling standpoint – and an understanding of where we are in the game, Patrick Mahomes' play makes Andy Reid worse as a play caller. I mean, the guy, I thought, did a really nice job with Matt Moore of kind of managing those games. He get Pat Mahomes back out there on the field, and it was the first time that he experienced, you know, the sweet nectar of the gods or whatever. Like, he just went absolutely crazy and lost his mind with Patrick Mahomes back there.
What sweet nectar are we talking about?
Honey. We're talking about honey, and he lost his mind.
Not the end zone?
No. Oh. He threw the ball 50 times, ran it just 25, totally lost any sense for what worked over the last couple of weeks. He got Mahomes back, and by God, they were going to throw for 500 yards in that game come hell or high water. And I think 75, 78, whatever plays they ran yesterday were way too many. They could have cut down on the plays, run the ball more, milked the clock a little bit with the last 3:30 of the game to go. But instead, he's still out there throwing the football around the ball yard, trying to do things that he doesn't need to do. And so I think while Patrick Mahomes is an amazing player, I think at times his greatness makes Andy Reid a worse play caller because he forgets to do the simple little things like hand the ball off and run the clock out.
He's spoiled by the goodness that is Mahomes.
I don't know that he's spoiled by it. I think he looks at Patrick Mahomes and just feels like he's going to do whatever the hell he wants because it's fun to watch and we all enjoy it, but you eventually got to win football games. I think Patrick Mahomes makes him lose his mind out there on the field. These 2-1 pass-to-run ratios are now 0-8 with the Chiefs. It just doesn't work.
Bill Cowher, I don't think still is candidates to be head coaches anywhere, but how about a consultant for Andy? Like, he could pick up the phone and maybe check him. Cowher yesterday on CBS.
You need a utilized clock when you have a lead. And again, I think sometimes you get caught up with, well, all we got to do is score, boom, you leave enough time, we can score again. So you keep thinking fast pace. You keep thinking like fast break. But sometimes it's okay to play the four corners. You know, even within what you have, it's okay to bleed the clock. It's okay to shorten it, particularly right now. We thought the Kansas City defense, you said to me before, can you live with some of the things? Because it is. They are. They're risk. They're reward. They're going to be good in some weeks, and they're going to be like this in some weeks. But, you know, again, some of the big plays they gave up, you know, this is nothing to panic over, nothing else like that.
Yeah, it's nothing to panic over. He's right. And that's ultimately what I keep reminding folks. We're 6-4. We're sitting here in first place. Everything's still right in front of us right now. It's nothing to panic over, but it is a good learning tool. It is something that you need to learn from. And I think as good as Andy is, as great as he's been as a head football coach in this league, you can always get better. You can always learn. And I think yesterday needs to be that moment where Andy learns that just because you have Mahomes doesn't mean you have to utilize Mahomes on every single play. It's okay to let him just, you know, simply hand the ball off and run the ball forward and milk some of that clock because you got too excited with Patrick Mahomes yesterday, and you ultimately lost the game. It would have been okay to limit the amount of plays down to 70, let's say, and run the ball a couple of times instead of trying to throw the football, using 11 seconds, never making Tennessee call a timeout because you had two incomplete passes. And you could say catch the ball, and that's all well and good as also. But throwing the football at that point of the game, that's just a recipe for disaster, and we saw it yesterday.
So you're saying it's kind of like that scene in Tommy Boy when he's at the diner and he's saying he's like he's got like a shiny new pet, and then he rips his pet's head off because he played with it too
that's
much?
That's right. Yeah, like Lenny with the rabbits kind of.
So you think that Andy Reid's going to rip Pat Mahomes' head off?
Well, he could get it ripped off if, you know, they snuffed out that last play where they were trying to run that screen that they did against Baltimore to close out the game. Huh. And Pat went down. Oh, my God.
Phil Sims thinks Reed leans on Mahomes too much.
Kansas City ran 78 plays today, but they're never worried about the clock. You're right there. They don't look at it. Now, when Matt Moore was playing, it was a whole different thing. They were managing the game in an entirely different way, and you got Mahomes back there. You know, it's like you can drive the ball 350 yards. You don't want to pull out a pitching wedge. Let's just hit it.
No, you want to hit the ball really hard.
Mm-hmm. And then you go into a house.
You want to smash that drive.
Take out somebody's car window.
Who cares if it lands off the fairway?
It goes back to your
drive
theory.
Drive for show, putting for dough.
Well, they didn't putt for dough yesterday.
They're not putting for dough.
It goes back to your theory, though, that you floated out there. Like, you just think Andy just likes to coach. And if they win, they win. If they lose, they lose. Like, you know, he's just having fun out there. But yet, yesterday was one of those days where I think he got a little too cute yesterday. I do. At the end of the game, he just got a little too cute.
Well, and you had heard that he was taking this one hard, and I'm like, yeah, I understand, because everybody that's had the opinion that he doesn't care about defense,
mm-hmm.
that he's just worried about the offense and the defense just runs itself over in the corner here on the other side, and he doesn't pay attention to it.
Right.
I feel like you were validated yesterday. Like, I can't argue it yesterday. Yesterday looked like I don't know what the defense is doing over there. Not my problem. Not my side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna convene here on the offense, and we're just going to keep doing this. It's up to you guys. And unfortunately, he can't be in that mode because the defense isn't good enough to be able to do that.
No.
I wish it was. It was 2 weeks ago. It was against the Vikings. It was not this past week.
But it was that.
You can't lean on him to do that. And anybody that says, well, he doesn't really care about the defense, it's all about the offense, I look at it and go, yeah, I can't argue with you this week. It looks like he's disappointed in this one because he feels like it was all offense, because he doesn't have anything to do with the defense. And the only thing he can control is his side of the football and doesn't have any awareness for the other one. So I feel like, yeah, that's why he's taking this one hard.
Well, that's why I say complimentary football. You have to understand what the other side of the ball is doing or not doing. And yesterday, the other side of the ball was not stopping the run. So the way you can kind of counteract that, even though you dominated time of possession and everything, the score is the only thing that matters. When you've got a chance to put the game away late, you got to run the football. You have to play that style of football with this defense right now. You cannot, as much as you would like to, Josh, you just can't rely on this defense to get a stop. If you continue to rely on this defense to get a stop, then we will be going home early in the playoffs.
It's not neon. It's more like sandcastle. Next.
Oh, I killed it!
Fesco in the morning.
I'll take responsibility for the loss. We were in a position to close it, and we didn't get that done. My responsibility. And then we were too sloppy. You come down and you play like we did. Again, head coach's responsibility. You can't do it like that.
Oh, Andy.
No, but I said to you guys yesterday after the game, watching his press conference, watching him walk off the field, it looked like to me like, man, this one hit him hard. Like, this was one of those. This wasn't just a loss in November for Andy.
Good.
I felt like it hit him hard, and I talked to somebody last night who was with them afterwards. And
I'm with Clay.
Good.
And said the same thing to me. I said it to them. I said, it really looks like Andy took this one hard, and the response I got was, yeah, I mean, he's mad at himself for not running it on 3rd and 2. And I said, well, yeah, he should be mad at himself. And then should be mad at himself for not changing up the snap count a little bit. Became too predictable yesterday. I think Andy Reid was too predictable.
More encouraging his defense to mix it up a little bit, maybe too late. Man, stuff's not working in the second half.
He's got to do a better job.
Come on now. We're baby steps, Josh. Stop with the defense, okay? Just stop worrying about the defense. Andy has.
No doubt. I've tried to make the case that, oh, he's involved, though. He's involved. Yesterday, I'm like, yeah, maybe. I can't say I saw him very involved yesterday.
No.
You know what the most maddening part is? Is that the defense had the stop. the stop that you needed. Like, I texted you that moment, right? And you called me Kling and you laughed at me. And I said, if this defense has truly turned a corner, this is where you get that stop.
Right. And that was that the one where Chris Jones took the center and deposited him like 20 yards
you
down the field?
You got the stop. Frank Clark, Chris Jones, everything that you needed to happen, happened for you.
I think you said a cameo by Frank Clark.
Yeah, there was a cameo by Frank Clark. Chris Jones gets the sack. Guess what happens? Your offense got the ball back, and they gave it back. So, man, I'll tell you what, like, as much as we sit here and want to bemoan about the defense not being able to get off the field, when they did, when they had to do it, they did it this past Sunday. Like, they were able to do the thing that I know I've said I want to see you do. I know Kling say I want to see you do. They were able to do that thing, and somehow this offense that we all think is the reason that they're going to win games, it was one of the reasons you lost a game.
It was
yesterday.
A big reason why they lost a game yesterday. 78 plays, and it should have been about 65 plays and run the football and run the clock out.
Or 75 plays and more points, actually.
Well, they did, and they left a lot of points on the field. Let's not kid ourselves. 5 field goal attempts, guys. And I know 2 of the field goals didn't go through, and that's 6 more points. But this
and
is
an
offense.
Point, right?
And an extra point. Yeah, so you left 7 points on the field from missed kicks yesterday. But you also left, you know, 7 times 5 is 35 opportunities. You know, 35 points there.
We're doing math now?
Yeah. I mean,
I was told there wasn't going to be any math.
Score touchdowns.
And 4 field goals and 2 non-field goals.
4 field goals and 2 non-field goals.
Yes. What do you mean? Had the block and had the terrible snap.
Oh, yeah. I don't think the terrible snap technically counts as a field goal attempt.
Well, I'm just saying there were 6 times where you didn't score touchdowns and you were going for threes.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, that's
a lot.
That's
a lot for this offense, right?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. It's too many. It's way too many. 2 is too many for this offense right now. You got to finish it off. And really, that first drive of the second drive of the game where they got the turnover and they did not convert it into a touchdown, they converted it into 3. That's when you kind of left 4 points hanging out right there. You're like, okay, you should have got at least a 2 touchdown lead on this team, and then you probably would have put the Tennessee Titans to bed at that point in time because you're up 14-0. They're thinking, oh, here we go again. But give credit to Mike Vrabel.
To bed at 3:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah, bad football teams. Give credit to Mike Vrabel for sticking with that run too, because they did a fairly good job against it in the first half, and then the second half they continue to pound the rock, and it's just for whatever reason Andy's having a tough time understanding that running the football and stopping the runs are still the most important things to do in an NFL game.
He's got to do a better job.
Yeah, absolutely got to do a better job.
The runs?
Yeah, got to stop the runs.
I just can't believe Ryan, like,
yeah, totally
lost
just,
right over that.
Yeah.
I'm
like
trying
right
to.
Wheel, it's like right
look,
in your wheelhouse.
Look, as the person who won the Survivor League, I'm trying to mature. I like to think that it's taken a step in really giving me some credibility
doing this
here on this
time,
station.
Because
it wasn't
we?
The football guy, Mr. Binkley. It wasn't Jay.
No.
It wasn't Jay that won. It wasn't BK. Because, you know, he's got it.
Yeah.
I was nervous about BK. I thought he was
I am the smartest man alive!
That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time you put some respect on my name and my football opinions, people. I'm more than just fart jokes, and that's why I'm trying to get over stopping the runs.
You're trying to look past that one.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Couple of injuries, too. Ogba done for the year, and it looks like Rankin is going to be done for the year as well, from what I've been told, and that just really mucks up another offensive lineman going down with an injury. Is hopefully Fisher's back this week, and I think he will be. And you can put him on that left side and then slide Cam Irving, who was atrocious again yesterday, into that left guard position. He stinks. Like, he really is.
That
he stinks
one,
out loud.
At Bob Fesco on Twitter, that one you retweeted.
Oh, my God.
He just got knocked over. I mean, didn't even look like it was that hard. It wasn't like it was a huge collision. He's like it's like a stiff breeze.
Well, you
got to
watch out
guy
for those
over.
For those 220-pound cornerbacks.
Jeez.
When they come around the edge like that.
I mean,
corner
on the
God.
Edge knocked him on his tail.
It was his center of gravity was low.
Uh-huh.
That's what it was.
Uh-huh.
Cam Irving was running with a high center of gravity.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah, he had it all right.
Looked like a drunken bear.
Like a semi and a huge wind.
I mean, it was bad. That cornerback just destroyed that guy. Did I say he stinks out loud already?
I believe so.
He stinks out loud.
Big finish.
That's a cue for you, Ryan, to hit the button.
Oh, that's me.
You know, you.
I am the smartest man alive!
Too busy worrying about your victory yesterday to focus on what's going on today.
Trying to stay. I'm smart.
Leon Sandcastle says teams can't wait to play the Chiefs. You may also know him as Deion Sanders on the NFL Network, also a candidate for the Florida State head coaching job.
He's saying this is horrible. I believe they're 31st versus the run. That means every team could run on you at will. And guess what that does? That keeps Mahomes on the sideline when they're eating up the clock. That's what that does. And you know, you don't understand how it feels for somebody to just run right at you, up the gut at you. It demoralizes a team. And the offense is sitting there like, guys, come on. You got the quarterback taking on the linebackers. And look at that. Henry is just bulldozing people, just running through people. And he told me, you know, he got the call. He told me, when you see these guys on the schedule with this type of run defense, you cannot wait. You take a Lamborghini to the game. You don't take an Uber. You cannot wait to get to the darn game because you know the outcome and what it's going to be.
Can you get a Lamborghini Uber?
That probably. I'm sure somebody's got the ability to do that.
Which would be kind of awesome. I always get like a Hyundai Sonata, but that's all right.
I think it's like the Uber Black. I don't think you get an Uberari.
An Uberari.
Sounds good. Let's go with that.
So that's Deion's take on this defense, and I think he's right. I think people are getting in a Lamborghini to go to work against this team. It wasn't so much yesterday the time of possession that kept Patrick Mahomes off the field, and because they didn't keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. It was the fact of the matter is that they tried to score a touchdown on every single play and got out of sorts. And instead of playing the game with the way it was being dictated yesterday, usually they say, let the game come to you. Andy Reid didn't let that game come to him yesterday. What Andy Reid did yesterday was try to play a game that didn't exist. Let the game come to you. Andy Reid, let the game come to you.
You're wavering, Ryan.
You tried to play a game that didn't exist yesterday.
Hang on. Hang on, Ryan.
Like a dog.
Hang on.
Come here, game.
Yeah.
Come here. Come here. Mm-hmm. Get over here.
The new Ryan was there for a second. Hang on, Ryan.
Okay. I'm not doing it. All right. I'm doing it. I got to do a better job. You got to do a better job.
We all got to do a better job. Everybody got to do a better job.
That's what we learned this weekend.
Including the head football coach.
Complimentary football.
You have to understand where the game is.
And win the game. I'm sorry. Complimentary football to win the game. They are a complimentary losing football program. Like
it's nobody's business. Yeah.
They can really complimentary lose.
They really can. Because everybody really in about a 90-second span had a finger in screwing this one up.
Had a finger in it.
Yeah. Everybody.
You're just trying to rope me in now.
I'm not. I'm just talking.
Nobody says have a finger in it.
Sure they do.
You have a hand in it. You don't have a finger in it.
Here's the whole hand.
I see what SOBs are doing. Not going to get me to do this.
You had the long snapper snap when they weren't ready. You had the punter get called for intentional grounding. You had a field goal blocked. You had kicks missed. You had bad play calls. You had a 3rd-and-2, which you're trying to close out like you did against Baltimore, snuffed out so the quarterback falls down. You had wide receivers dropping passes. The tight end was irrelevant in the second half yesterday. The running back fumbled and it went to a touchdown. The offensive coordinator doesn't know there's a defense. The defensive coordinator wasn't calling the right defenses at the end. The linebackers were getting bowled over by Ryan Tannehill.
Special teams. Don't even get me started.
I've already went with the kicker. That's 12 things I just named.
Linebackers yesterday?
How about the fans, though? They showed up.
A good home game for the Chiefs.
It did. Get any, like, Titans players bitching about that?
I hate to drop a home game like that.
You do hate to lose a home game. You don't want to lose your home games. It's okay. You stole one on the road last week against Minnesota. This week you're home playing Tennessee.
You're a funny guy.
Didn't win.
You're a funny guy.
Didn't win, got to win that game. I didn't hear Chris Jones thank the fans yesterday for showing up in Nashville.
I didn't hear Chris Jones talk at all. It was really upsetting because he had 2 sacks and a hell of a game.
He did.
Strip sack.
I talked to somebody yesterday, an agent yesterday told me, he goes, this is a generational type player, Chris Jones. And he is.
Wow.
I mean, the guy's freaking good. He was a good again yesterday. Too bad he didn't have 10 other people. What? What are you laughing at, man?
Nothing. I'm going to get through this.
Ryan's teetering, man.
What did I say, though? I didn't even think I said anything.
You did not. It's what Ryan thought he heard you say. Never mind. We'll clean that up in post-production. The home game yesterday. The home game yesterday, though, I was confused by the end. It seemed like a lot of Chiefs fans, but then they were talking about how the lid was blowing off at the end. So I guess Nashville did to Kansas City what Kansas City then did to the Vikings fans. That, like, the Vikings fans cheered loudly the whole game, but we then snuffed them out at the end.
Right.
Is that what Nashville did to us yesterday? So they turned around and did the same thing?
I guess.
And then their home team pulled one out of the fire?
That's right. Their home team won.
And then they all went and had hot chicken.
And then they'll wait in line.
And went to a bachelorette party.
Woo!
Can I tell you how pissed off I was on Friday when I left early? I got there at like 10:30. I was like, going to get me a Popeye sandwich. The day I pulled in, there was no line. You know why? Because they're out of the sandwich.
How? How are they running out of
you this? Told me you wouldn't do it this time, Popeye.
I am thoroughly confused by this chicken sandwich thing. How do you not?
How do you run at it, just grab another breast and fry it?
How is this so
hard?
That's
not how it works. I don't think they're, like, preparing the breasts right there.
But if you went and ordered a three-breast meal, you could get that.
Are that many people ordering this thing that they're prone to running out?
Yes. Where you been, bro?
I guess I just don't care about a chicken sandwich.
We are stabbing each other over sandwiches out here.
They're ridiculous.
I mean, and I heard a lot of people are like, whoa, we're dying for? There is no item of food worth dying for. You tell me. Turducken, maybe.
Maybe a turducken. Maybe. A beef Wellington. People always say that's to die for.
I mean, I might get into a strong verbal argument over a beef Wellington. I'm not going to escalate it to pause. That's not even nice.
I can see Ryan scrapping over a beef Wellington.
We'll continue to all try to get over this loss together today. Therese Paylor's show comes your way tonight at 6 here on 610 Sports Radio. Yahoo Sports, our NFL insider. And coming up next, it is Show and Vern here on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.